Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Your future lay out there in the bullpen.
The starters are out. Now it's time to head to the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5.
Go ahead, call the producers.
We're winning now!
Welcome back to the bullpen, ESPN 97.5. It is Brian McDonald, Sean Banks, Cam Smith, and John Belmer with you here on a Saturday. Who's going to be back? We haven't done a studio show. And I don't even remember when. The Texans were a bad football team, I think, the last time we did a show in the studio. I took about a month off in between live remotes and LePers because of Aggies football and Aggies basketball kicking us off. And I think a random Miami Hurricanes versus SMU game. But I think the Texans were an under 500 team the last time we did a show together in the studio.
Was it after, like, the Ravens game or something?
Well, I know the show before the Ravens game, we were out at Kima. So it might have been the following week. Yeah, it might have been.
It's been a while.
I've done more shows
on Saturdays from Lake Charles than I have in Houston.
That's true.
Over the last two months.
Easy. Yeah. That's easily a fact. And, well, speaking of LeBurge and Lake Charles, Sean, you, me, and Joe will be back out there next Saturday and Sunday. A little different start time. Sorry, Cam. A little different start time. We don't know exactly what time we'll be starting because it's dependent upon when the Aggies and their five-hour post-game show ends.
Yes.
No disrespect there to the Aggies.
It's one hour.
But the post-game, well, I mean, Cam can attest. Sometimes that post-game, it stretches the hour constraints quite a bit.
It's going to be an hour and a half.
The pre-game show is sometimes 5 hours.
Yeah, they did one. They did one not all that long ago that was like at least a three-hour pre-game show. But anyway.
It was indeed.
What's that?
I was there for that.
Yeah. So anyway, great. Normally that Saturday show, like today, like we did last week at LeBurge, is 12 to 2.
Yeah.
We're probably going to be on the air about 3:30, 4 o'clock, and we'll go till, you know, probably 6, I guess.
Two hours after.
We might fudge it a little bit depending on when the show actually starts. But we'll be out there next Saturday after the Aggies in their post-game show, their game against Miami in the first round of the college football playoffs. And they'll also be doing the normal 10 a.m. to noon show the next day on Sunday, also live from LeBurge and Lake Charles. But I mentioned the Texans earlier. They're a bad football team the last time we did a show here in the studio. No longer a bad football team, gentlemen.
No.
They've won 5 in a row. Since that 0-3 start, they've gone 8-2 over their last 10. And it's looking like the favorite is for them to at least win 11 games, which is hilarious because – we all saw the graphics when the Texans started 0-3. Like, well, the last team to overcome an 0-3 start, Cam, you're all right? You're struggling with the microphone here.
This mic is being a pain in the butt.
Just come this way a little bit, and you'll be right in front of it, pal. Are we good? All right. So the last...
He said it off air.
Did he?
Yeah.
Are we sure?
Yep.
All
maybe,
right.
Maybe
Johnny?
picked up on one of my...
Fact check that. Okay. Hopefully we didn't just cancel. LeBurge canceled next week. No. Anyway, so the Texans were the last team to start 0-3 and then make the playoffs. That happened in 2018 when they went 0-3 and then won 9 in a row.
Yeah. Remarkably similar.
But the Texans, I think, have a pretty good shot to actually one-up those Texans because, no offense, Cam, I think they're going to be a favorite in the remaining games. Now, I think the Chargers might get the respectful
1.5.
Like, yes, exactly. 1.5 home point favorite, but
yeah.
I don't know. I think the Texans,
If I would say they're more likely to win out than to go 2-2 in their final four. I'd put it that way. The favorite is definitely 3-1, but I think they're more likely to win out than go 2-2.
Yeah, because I mean, you know, just tip our hand. Don't really have any reason to believe they're going to lose tomorrow against Arizona. Then they have the Raiders, and pound for pound, maybe the worst team in the league. And
definitely top three, yeah.
Ounce for ounce. And by form, how they're playing right now is among the worst in the league. And then you have who they have after
the Chargers.
That? Oh, the Chargers. That's where the go 4-0 like is under most scrutiny, because then they have the Phil Rivers led Indianapolis Colts.
Cannot wait for that. If Big Philly is still starting for the Colts, because I mean, I guess it's possible that the Colts might go to Riley Leonard at some point this year,
or that he doesn't. You know,
or that Phillip Rivers just dies on the field.
Doesn't make, how dare it you. Through clean.
But yeah, I mean, there's a chance he doesn't survive this weekend. I mean, they're in Seattle. We saw what that Seattle pass rush when the Texans went there.
Oh, and what they did to Brosmer. What they do to not NFL quarterbacks.
Yeah, especially a 44-year-old who hasn't seen contact in 5 years.
Well,
yeah.
Hold on. If Phillip Rivers can dodge 27 children, I'm sure that he can.
He's been active.
He's a grandfather, Cam.
Basically.
No, he. I think he legit is a
grandfather. Yeah, he is legit.
He's legit. His daughter has a child.
Yeah. I love that. The Methuselah of football.
Cam, a grandfather, is about to start an NFL game tomorrow.
And look at us. What are we doing with our lives?
Yeah.
Well, Johnny Bellenberg came by at one point just with a bleeping grin on his face. Hey, Brian, how old are you? And I didn't want to answer because I knew he was searching for something. I am, in fact, younger than Phillip Rivers, but it does give me hope that there's still time. I just got to warm up this arm. There's still time.
I will say that. That Chargers-Texans game, out of the remaining games for the Chargers, that one terrifies me the most.
Who are their other games? I know they play the Chiefs Sunday.
They play Kansas City. Then it's a tricky schedule because it's Kansas City, then Dallas, then Houston, then Denver. I'm not really afraid of Kansas City.
That's a daunting run.
Or Dallas, and I feel like at the last game of the year, if Denver's still winning the division,
I think Denver's probably,
they're going to half ass it.
Yeah,
but the Texans are right below the Chargers in the wild card.
I don't see any way they lose the Denver game because of what you said. Like, they're the number one seed right now. I guess they could technically. Well, the Patriots, like if the Patriots beat the Bills tomorrow, then the Broncos might have to play last week because that the number one seed will probably still be on the line.
The Broncos do have the tiebreaker over
for sure. Like that's not going to change.
Yeah, because I think it's it's common opponents and. They only have like one common opponent. It's the Raiders, and the Broncos beat the Raiders. The Raiders actually beat the Patriots.
Yeah,
in week
that's wild.
One.
That's wild.
So so they pretty much have the tiebreaker like completely.
It's really weird talking about how New England could be
go
the number
like
one seed in the AFC.
Yeah, like I remember being at a time like kind of the rage of like the Colts got to go from Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck, or the you know what happens with the Packers, they go from Favre to Rodgers to Jordan Love. It kind of feels like the Patriots are kind of
yeah.
I mean, they took that quick they had a little detour there with Matt Jones and
Cam Newton
and Bailey Zappe Cam Newton.
Yeah. Brian Hoyer,
Hoyer was in there for a couple starts, but yeah, a few years down and they got their franchise quarterback again. So the Patriots, although I don't really fear. The Patriots as a Texans fan for a potential playoff matchup, and let's go into that there. So shout out to Sean who pulled this audio, ace producer from the Rich Eisen Show.
Yep,
heard 12 to 3 on these airways every Monday through Friday. So Stephen A. Smith, Sean, was a guest on the Rich Eisen Show, and in this clip we're about to play here, Belmer, he was asked by Rich, I guess who he thought the favorites were in each conference to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He says the Rams from the NFC, and let's hear what he has to say about the AFC.
The AFC is a bit tougher because Denver and New England seem to be the two best teams. I don't think it'll be one of them, though.
Okay.
I'm high on the Texans. I just think their defense is something to behold. With Hunter and Anderson and those boys getting after you, D'Amico Ryan's got them boys on another level. But offensively, do they have enough? That's the question mark, and that's why it's tough right now. But I would tell you, if I had to pick anybody, it would probably be the Houston Texans.
Ooh. Texans versus Rams, what a Super Bowl that would be with Stafford and Puka and Devontae in that run game.
So when I first heard that clip, I was like, okay, Stephen A., he's a victim of the moment, a little bit hyperbolic. And I didn't really think about it. or I kind of dismissed it that is. But the more I thought about it, not that I'm picking them to go to the Super Bowl or saying the Super Bowl or a bust, nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think, despite the horrible start they had to the season, the Texans are really looking at maybe their most opportune moment that they've had, maybe in franchise history, certainly in the DeMeco Ryans era. Because in the past 2 years before this season, like, we looked at the Texans and thought, okay, they're a pretty good team, but they're not going to beat the Ravens. They're not going to beat the Chiefs. Chiefs aren't going to make the playoffs. The Ravens, as of now, would not make the playoffs and are trailing in their division. And so you look at that next group of team, it's the Patriots. Drake May's never started a playoff game. You have Bo Nix, who the Texans should have beaten in their building, you know, about a couple of months ago. It was a 3-point game, but the Texans led most of the way. And then you have the Bills, who the Texans have dominated the last 2 years. Now, granted, that those were home games, and they'd probably have to play in Buffalo if they were to rematch the playoffs. But as you're looking at this AFC field, there's not a boogeyman that I fear in the AFC that was an obvious, well, the Texans can't get past them to get to the Super Bowl. The Chiefs aren't going to the playoffs. I don't think the Ravens are going to the playoffs. You've kicked the Bills' ass the last 2 years. And the Patriots and Broncos are kind of newbies that I don't really yeah. – I mean, the Texans have way more playoff experience than those teams. So I think this is by far the best opportunity they've had in the DeMeco Ryans era, maybe the best opportunity they've had in their history to reach the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think it has to be in their history. I think it has to be because they don't – I mean, there's not a
maybe
Brady.
2012?
Tom Brady was still in the conference.
Tom Brady was still there, yeah. I'm just thinking because
they lost to the eventual Super Bowl
they
champions.
They were 12-4 that year, so that's the only reason I can kind of put that in the conversation. But
they still had to go on the road.
They
the
still
divisional.
Had to go on the road and face the Patriots and got their ass kicked.
Yeah. Well, I think that one.
No, that was the ass kick. The one that you're thinking of that was close was the Brock Osweiler year.
Yeah. Oh, no. The year before, they lost to the Ravens. TJ Yates lost to the
Ravens. Yeah. Well, yes, I think if Matt Schaub had stayed healthy, that probably would have been their best opportunity, but everything went out the window. And
wasn't that the year Jacoby Jones returned a punt in the playoff game?
He fumbled the ball at the 3-yard line and gave the Ravens an easy touchdown.
In 2011. And then 2012,
he swapped. Yeah,
he was great for the Ravens.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, just off the top, and then all the Bill O'Brien ones, they're 9-7, 10-6.
9-7, 10. Yeah.
I guess 18 they're better.
18 they're 11-5, yeah.
But no one really believed in that 18 team. So much so that Bill O'Brien was pissed off about it.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's public knowledge.
In the first round of the playoffs with the Colts. So.
Yeah, I was at that game. Full Brian McTaggart. I was at that game. Yeah,
did you stay the whole time?
Yeah.
Okay, shout out to you, because I think that game was 21-7, but it felt like 42-7.
It was 21-0 at the start.
Yeah.
For the first three quarters, it was 21-0.
If you just looked at that game, like, years removed, it doesn't look like a blowout, but that was a beat.
Yeah, I think it ended 21-14. I think they got a very cosmetic touchdown.
Yeah, either way, like, it was definitely not as close, regardless if it was 21-7 or 21-14. Yeah. It definitely wasn't as close as the score might indicate.
But yeah, I mean, getting back to going away from the, you know, the glorious past of Texans postseason football back to the present. I mean, there isn't that team in this playoff.
Yeah, like, I just don't fear anybody.
No, and I do wonder if you're doing the show in Denver or New England. Are you saying that you don't fear anybody?
Probably.
Talking about the Texans. Like,
you're probably talking
about
the Texans offense. Like, we don't fear those
guys.
Yeah,
like, if Andy Reid doesn't challenge or doesn't go for it on fourth down on the wrong side of the ball there, like, the Texans were not going to score for the rest of the game. They're going to
– probably not.
The Chiefs need a one drive to win that game, and they – should have punted and just leaned on their defense to get better field position. They go for it, don't get it, because they're going into the teeth of the best part of this Texans team, one of the best units in football right now, and that's how they lose that game. And so, like, even the Texans wins, if you want to, like, neg it, you're like, well, look at that offense, you know, negative yardage in the third quarter. Look at the yardage in the second half against the Bills. Like, there's a lot of holes you can poke in this Texans team. It just goes back to the fact they have one of the best units in football. They have one of the best defenses in football, and you can't say that about either side of the ball for the Patriots. You can maybe say that the Broncos defense is of the similar caliber.
So is their offense. A similar caliber to the Texans.
Yeah. And so you look around the AFC, there's not that team that has, like, a dominant side of the ball the way that the Texans do.
Cam?
Are you asking me if I'm afraid of anybody?
Well, just like, I mean, just, I mean, I really look at this as, like, sometimes the stars just align for teams where, like, a player gets hurt or the team, a team has a random down year. And this looks like that year for the Texans. Again, not predicting to happen, not saying it's Super Bowl or bust, but Chiefs aren't going to make the playoffs. The Ravens aren't going to make the playoffs, I think. The Patriots and the Broncos are still kind of noobs. You have more experience than them. Like, and you've kicked the Bills' ass twice the last two times you played them. So I just, like, this feels like if they're, I don't want to say if they're ever going to reach Super Bowls, things will obviously continue to evolve and change in years future. But this feels like start of the franchise to date, the best opportunity they've ever had to make the Super Bowl.
I would probably agree with that. And despite the fact that the offense is so below mid, it's like all those top AFC teams, there's not, I mean, I guess you could argue that Denver's defense is elite, but it's just like none of those offenses scare me either. So I know how bad the Texans offense can be.
Yeah, I think it's both because those offenses are inconsistent and because just the Texans defense is going to make good offenses look bad.
Yeah, because like the Patriots, Drake May's done really well, but they have no run game. And Denver has a solid run game, but Bo Nix seems to have taken a step back.
And they don't have a lot of weapons. I mean, Cortland Sutton's been so-so, and then like what else do you fear? Yeah.
I mean,
Marvin Mims. I mean,
Pat Bryant's out.
And J.K. Dobbins isn't doing what he did.
He's out for the year.
Yeah, so
he's out for the year.
The fact I had
Troy
to say
Franklin, I guess
Pat Franklin's out or Pat Bryant's out.
Pat Bryant
speaks to the level of weapons that we have.
Yeah, like two weeks ago, if you had said who is Pat Bryant for, I would assume you're making that up. Like,
Illinois like,
power forward for the Sixers. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we got to get out a little bit over here. On the other side of the break, we'll maybe break down some more Texans and get into some NFL conversations as well. Coming up at 1 o'clock on the show, we're going to have Brad Gilmore, one half of Hall of Fame, heard on these airwaves Tuesdays and Wednesday nights. He's also the play-by-play voice of Reality Wrestling, Booker T's promotion out there in Texas City. Because John Cena's final match, Cam and John, I know you're excited to watch this tonight. John Cena's final match is tonight, so Brad Gilmore is going to join us to talk about that and everything else going on in WWE at 1 o'clock and, of course, 1:30, Mount Rushmore plus one. On the side of the break, though, when we get back, more NFL and Texans. Don't go anywhere.
This is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zada Jewelers, KFNC, and 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. Is the Bullpen
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5.
All right, welcome back into the Bullpen. Brian McDonald, Cam Smith, Sean Mason, John Belmer with you here until 2 o'clock. Reminder, 1 o'clock, Brad Gilmore from Reality of Wrestling and Hall of Fame, one half of that show with Booker T, will join us to talk about John Cena's final match tonight on Saturday night's main event, taking on Gunther in the main event of that card. Mount Rushmore plus one coming up at 1:30, so make sure you stay tuned for that. And if you want to join in the conversation, talking Texans later, we'll get into the Rockets and the Astros, some NFL topics as well. Hit us up on the HRMP listener line phone. You can either call or text 713-780-3776. So I don't think there's much to break down with Texans Cardinals this weekend because I think we all expect them to probably win by 10 plus, maybe even by Jonathan Gannon, that bum, he's gonna be out of a job. But like I'm trying to think of a single thing with the Cardinals where I'm like, well, if that, then like, but I can't, like, I mean, Jacoby Brissett's completed a lot of passes. Michael Wilson, when Marvin Harrison Jr. David Boston.
Yeah.
When Marvin Harrison Jr. is out, then
Michael Floyd,
he certainly turns into Jerry Rice. Yes, exactly. Let's just name all Christian Kirk. Let's just name all the former receivers for the Cardinals. But like, they have nothing at running back. Trey Benson's not back yet. Obviously, James Conner's out for the year. Marvin Harrison's out. Trey McBride is legit great, but it's like, okay, one guy. And I don't fear the defense. Like, I try to think of a single compelling thing on the Cardinals' side of this game to even remotely get myself worked up about, but I can't think of anything, Sean.
It will probably be close because of the Texans' offense, and so it won't be like a three-score game.
Yes.
It will probably be
I think
like,
they win like by 13.
Yeah, it'll probably be 13-3 for most of this game.
Yeah, probably.
And then there'll be like a turnover that sets up a short field. But yeah, I mean, I can't think of a compelling reason why. I mean, I guess they can move the ball decently well.
It's just Trey McBride. But, I mean, Michael Wilson has been great whenever Marv has been out.
But it also feels like that happens exclusively in garbage time. Like, they go down mostly three scores, yeah, and like then they start being able to move the ball.
Yeah, that game that Jacoby Brissett threw for, like, 400 yards and, like, set the record for completions. They lost that game by, like, 20.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know about – I mean, are you with us, Cam? Like, there's just – the Cardinals feel like one of the most boring teams in football.
It's – I guess what I'm saying is I don't see how it's, like, a complete blowout because that involves, like, participation from the offense to do that.
But, I mean, like you said, but short fields could be that.
Yeah, the Texans will likely be in relative control of this game throughout.
Does it feel like it's maybe a copy and paste of the Titans home game where it's, like, close – for a while, and all of a sudden, they just the avalanche happens, and you look up, and it's 26-0.
They are of that level, so yes.
Yeah.
The Cardinals are of Titans level. Actually, they lost to the Titans.
The Titans won in Arizona. Yeah, so. You remember the hilarity of that game where the Cardinals intercepted a pass and then fumbled it back to the Titans who scored?
Wasn't that also the DeMarcado game?
I think so.
Because there's like three different ways.
It was the DeMarcado game also where you got three different ways where
they fumbled and like scored but didn't score.
Oh, it was hilarious. So I think we all assume Kyler Murray is gone, right? Like there's no way he's back with the Cardinals next year. What Cam, like if you're it sounds like you're shaking your head for Kyler Murray's better go learn to play baseball again, but like
or Call of Duty.
I think he already knows how to play that.
That's true.
Like where do you expect him to end up next year, Cam? Any teams leap out to you?
Oof. Man, that's
I mean,
a good
there's
one.
Gonna be teams out there like the Jets. Maybe the Steelers. They're gonna is gonna have a new quarterback. Yeah,
Houston Gamblers.
Like anything jump out to you? Like I mean, I think Minnesota might need one because I don't trust nine. I'd be interested to see. Don't look shocked at me, Sean. Nine is
he looked
is
pretty good
off,
last week.
Okay,
how stupid does Minnesota have to look? The fact that they how well Darnold played, and then they said goodbye, and now he's killing it in Seattle.
He's
and they're stuck with JJ McCarthy.
Nine. Yeah. The best persona in all of the National Football League.
I don't think Minnesota is going to go after Murray, but I definitely think Steelers and Jets are.
I just would be intrigued because while I don't believe in Kyler currently, I still think there's a base layer of supreme talent that a guy like Kevin O'Connell, if he could unlock it. Yeah. Like, that feels like...
He's not complete,
I mean, he did with Darnold, so yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not complete, like, we're good here, throw him in the trash, like, back up for life.
Like territory. Justin Fields. Like, yeah, it's like... Justin Fields, I'm done.
But
you're done.
I mean, Justin Fields got to be a starter for three different teams.
Bears, Jets, and Steelers, yeah.
Yeah, so so Kyler Murray's still on one. So he's going to bounce her. I feel like he's going to get another shot here or there. So, I mean, have we mentioned the Raiders?
No, but that would make sense. I mean,
he just feels like a Raiders.
I mean, they're in year one of that Geno contract, but I assume they can get out of it.
Yeah,
I
he just
know.
Feels like a Raiders-y type of player. Maybe it's
I don't
the
even
Saints.
Know. If that might be a different head coach making that decision. If I'm the Raiders, I'm moving on from everybody.
Has Shuck played too well for the Saints to be? Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think they're going to run back Shuck, maybe draft a guy in the third round and go from there.
Didn't they just do that with Shuck?
I know, but Shuck has been good enough to give more of a look to, but not so good that I'm not still making moves to consider other options.
He might be their Davis Mills.
Yeah, okay. Could be.
Is Davis Mills gone?
No, he's under contract. So.
Yeah, so they'd have to trade him, and if I'm the Texans, I'm like why am I trading?
Yeah, like unless I'm getting a third round pick back, he's still on the roster.
Oof, that'd be a stretch. But that would
be nice. I agree. Like I'm not saying he's worth that. I'm just saying. For me, like if I'm Nick Caserio, it's not worth me losing a competent backup quarterback unless I'm getting a third or better.
And so that means someone is trading for Davis Mills to make them their starter, and
which feels unlikely.
I feel like he's the he's the best, one of the best backup quarterbacks in the league, but pretty definitively not
top 40 quarterback in the world.
Yeah. I was gonna say he's like I don't know 36, but then I thought like, well, there's actually like I don't know five. Starting quarterbacks that are worse than
him. I like him better than nine. I like him better than Fields. I like him better than Tyrod Taylor.
I need to see more from nine.
No. Oh, that's another team.
Who's that?
The Giants.
Well, I mean, Jackson Dart's going to be the guy.
Yeah.
They're not bringing in a starter. No, I'm with you. Like, I think I'm lower on Jackson Dart than the popular opinion. Like, I just look, I mean, beyond the injuries, like, it feels like, yes, the injuries are a concern, but beyond that, it feels like sometimes that's the only thing he has to go to. Like, we saw what happened for Wando Robinson when Jameis Winston come in. Also, all the production just drops off the face of the earth. Because Dart, I don't know. I just don't believe in him.
He'll get a year or two, though.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. Obviously, yeah. I'm not saying you shouldn't, but I think they could be looking for a quarterback in 2027. But that's kind of where I am with the Giants.
The Browns.
The
Browns.
No, I can't see Kyler there. Although that would fit their dysfunction.
Yeah, I would just draft someone if I'm the Browns.
But. Yeah, maybe in the third, another fifth one? Round. Yeah, draft the third round one. Quarterback, a fifth round quarterback. Yeah,
yeah, it's a buffet. Yeah,
I think that. Yeah. I mean that would work.
I think they run it back with
Watson.
Well, Watson plus the two current rookies, Shadori.
You know, the funny thing is Philip Rivers has a higher rating on Madden than Deshaun Watson.
Well, Philip Rivers is a 70.
He's a 70.
So what is Watson?
Less than a 70.
Okay, I thought you had the number. I thought you had
the number. I do not.
Oh.
Stop it.
Mute his mic, John.
I'm going to put you in timeout.
Yeah. That was just
no, just completely fade him down. He's in timeout for 2 minutes.
I told all my students.
Complete lob.
Thank you, John. No one can hear you, Sean. Turn off his mic. Perfectly.
I had to not threaten my students, but I had to get firm with them and tell them if I hear somebody else shout 6-7 in the classroom, there's going to be consequences.
Were you prepared to follow up with that threat?
I have.
Oh, well, you have. Okay. Yeah.
You lost points. No free time. I'm so tired of it.
How many points do they lose?
Five.
I don't even know what that means.
Can people hear my points? Voice?
I thought you were going to say 6.7.
Okay. What does no free time mean?
They
don't have free time.
We can't technically call it time out.
Oh, okay.
So I sit them out during their free time for a lengthy period of time.
Okay.
I see.
Okay, penalty box. Got it.
You penalty box them? Okay. See, I think you're going about this the wrong way, Cam. I think in order to get your kids to stop doing the 6-7 thing.
React?
No. I'd go a different direction. I would play right into it. I think the only way to get them to stop doing it is to make them think it's no longer cool, which is to...
Hey!
Hey, no disrespect. I'm older than you. I fit into this bill. But as a man in your 30s, if you go out and do it over the top, do it extreme, just like make it extremely goofy and corny as much as you can, I think that saps the fun out of it.
I
won't right away, but over a couple of weeks, I think you'll wear them down.
I mean, that I might try that, but
I think he's at wit's end, Sean.
He does.
He seems like a man at the end of his rope.
I can't tell you how fed up I am of those two numbers. Like, I don't even want to say it. Like, I don't even want to say the numbers.
You don't. What numbers, Cam?
The one after five.
But specifically, what number
eight.
Is that? We're not going to go to break until you say it, Cam.
Siete ses.
All right, we'll go to break. Thank you, Cam, for sort of being a sport there. All right, well, on the other side of the break, we never got into the NFL stuff we had planned, but maybe we'll talk that or Rockets or Astros. We'll figure it out during the break.
Deshaun Watson's actual Madden rating is 69.
I mean, that seems perfect.
Wow.
Anyway, that's a very, very nice rating.
Yeah, I mean,
I felt like the Madden creators did that on purpose, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Had to.
That's on purpose. All right. Well done, EA. You do a lot of stuff that annoys me, but tip of the hat on that one. Bullpen returns in a couple minutes. ESPN Radio 97.5.
This is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zadda Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
This is The Bullpen
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5.
All right, welcome back into The Bullpen. We're going to talk Astros here. Brian McDonald, Cam Smith, and Sean Mapes here with you. Johnny Bellmer behind the glass. Next segment, Brad Gilmore, one half of the Hall of Fame with Booker T, will join us. He's also the voice of reality wrestling because John Cena's final match. I know Belmer was telling me at his watch party during the break, he's got big plans for tonight.
We do not care.
Okay. John Cena. That feels like that was unnecessarily aggressive, John. Here I am talking about the biggest night in sports entertainment, and Belmer's over here hating. Mm-hmm. I mean, Sean, you're having a watch party, right? Are you and Belmer combining watch parties?
Yeah,
or separate?
Yeah. Belmer's actually inviting me over to his place to watch it.
All right.
That would have been nice to know that.
Where was my John, you live like 2 minutes away from me. Where was my invite?
The party doesn't start at 10 a.m. BMAC.
It's true. I'm just talking about my invite.
It will be late. It will be a late night.
That's directed at the wrong person. There's one person in our Dynasty League that is referred to as Gramps, and it's not me. Okay? So
that is true.
That's, yeah. We play late plenty of times. All right. No one knows what we're talking about. Let's talk about the Astros. No one knows what the Astros doing because they're not really doing anything. So far, only moves they've made, they traded for somebody named Ryan Weiss.
Stupid.
Okay.
Love it. A-plus. A-plus move.
Pitcher out of the Korean Baseball League organization, whatever. They also traded Mauricio Dubon for someone who's somehow even a worse hitter. And as Jeremy Branham calls him, Nick the Stick Allen. I thought it was impossible. Like, I was fine with trading Mauricio Dubon because he's a $5 million player who can't hit. But you somehow traded him away. Okay, fine, you save the money, but you trade him away for, like, literally the worst offensive player in baseball, a guy that makes Martin Maldonado look competent. I don't know if you've seen these numbers, Cam.
Oh, I have.
No, he was literally a worse hitter last year than Martin Maldonado.
So in four seasons Nick Allen's played, his career numbers, .213 average, sub-300 on base and sub-300 slug, an OPS plus of 55. By comparison, John Singleton, that monster of offensive production, he hit .218, so 5 points better. His on base was .306, slugging .356, and an OPS plus of 87. 32 points better than Nick the Stick Allen. So this is all the Astros have done. They've gotten worse 3 years in a row. You know, won the World Series, eliminating the ALCS, eliminated in the wild card round, missing the playoffs. They've gone down four straight years now. Or three straight seasons, sorry. They've gone three straight seasons. And to this point, look, I know baseball's offseason is different. It's not like the NBA or NFL where all the signings happen in 3 days and it's over. Baseball drags their feet for whatever reason with these. But they are looking at a roster that has produced worse results 3 seasons in a row. And all they've done to this point is sign two players I never heard of until the Astros signed them. Well, actually, one was a trade, but they've acquired two players that I've never heard of.
And then you see Baltimore go get Pete Alonso for only $155
million. Yeah. I mean, Blue Jays had Dylan Cease. Now, once I saw the number for Dylan Cease, I wasn't, like, wringing my hands over. The Astros should have done that because I'm not paying a 30-year-old pitcher $7 million, $210. But, I mean, there is the argument that's just the price of doing business if you want to compete at that level. But I look at this Astros roster. And while if the offense is healthy, I think they have a good offense. But you can't really say you can't write that in an ink with guys like Altuve and Jake Myers and Yordan Alvarez who have long injury histories. Isak Paredes obviously coming off of something. Christian Walker's on the wrong side of 30. Like, sure, on paper, if healthy, I think this is a pretty good offense. But like, how could you ever just take that to the bank and think this is like a guarantee to happen? And then you look at the starting pitcher side, my God, like Hunter Brown, great. You know, top three in Cy Young. He's one of the best pitchers, not just American League, all of baseball. Maybe even the best pitcher in the American League once Scooble ends up getting traded to the Dodgers, because that seems like what the Dodgers do every single time. But you look at that rest of that starting rotation after that. Yeah, Christian Javier. This is projected from Fangraphs. Christian Javier, Lance McCullers, Jason Alexander, the newly acquired Ryan Weiss. And then you got guys like Eric Eddy, Colton Gordon, AJ Blue Ball, who would make out, six, seven, eight spots and possibly fill in when there's injuries. Like, I threw in the eight. That doesn't count. If I go past it, it doesn't count. But you look at that rotation, and after you get past a possible Cy Young Award winner, you're looking at a bunch of like four and five starters and guys that I can see the talent with Eric Eddy. I can see what once was with Christian Javier and Lance McCullers, but I have no reason to expect any of these guys to produce big results.
Yeah, no, and especially because all the reporting is that they're going to use either Jake Meyers or Isak Paredes to get a starting pitcher. So
I believe
like,
I want to see it. Yeah,
yeah. It's a little bit of you know, you're taking like one part. They were already like, okay, this is fine, and you're like, but we're trading that to get yeah, better. And exactly. You're like, okay, I can see how that makes sense. I can see how after this season, Jake Meyers will be a free agent, and I'm not particularly interested in paying Jake Meyers' next contract. And
no,
yeah,
definitely not.
And it's like, yes, it makes sense how you can use that to then get a starting pitcher. Okay, sounds good. One question, who's starting at center field now? Yeah, and it turns into, well, Zach Cole was really good for 15 games.
You know what the Astros roster management seems like at this time? It's like there's three or four holes on the side of a ship, right? They're all letting water and you're sinking. And they're like, I got this. They plug up one, like, well, okay, what about this other one? Don't worry. They unplug the one they just plugged, and yeah. they just move it over to a different one. Like, the ship is still going to sink.
A hole's a hole. Yeah.
Quote Cam Smith, right? We need to save that, Johnny. A hole's a hole. But I have no faith right now. I mean, maybe the Astros surprise us and go out and sign Ranger Suarez. Like, I mean, I'm not saying it's completely impossible. Jim Crane does sometimes suddenly get spurred into making a big splash like what we saw with Josh Hader a couple years ago.
Yeah.
But on the whole, like, it just feels like this team is salary capping themselves with the you know, the luxury tax and never really willing to compete at the level like teams like the Mets and the Dodgers do. And you're kind of be stuck in that second tier that really, like, if you're not bailed out by a farm system, which isn't all that great, like, where's it coming from?
Yeah, and there is an element of like, hey, they're outstandingly hurt last year. If they're less hurt, then like that they can just improve from within. But you are losing Framber Valdez out of that. And that is less so about the, you know, consistency of his performance, but it's more just about he was 100-something innings every year. He was like over, 150 easily.
Oh,
innings.
Yeah. He's
fifth
been
most,
the guy that's
fifth most innings
been
since
like
21.
180-plus pretty much every year.
And it's just like the simple fact of just like, well, you need to replace that somehow. And so that's where it's like, I mean, coming into this offseason, and I guess still – even despite the Ryan Weiss signing, I was like, yeah, you kind of need to bring in at least two starting pitchers. One can be, you know, another four or five kind of guy, but one guy has to be a two or a three. Like, and you have to be able to talk me into, you know, if it is a three, I mean, I'll just mentally bump him up to a two once he gets to the Astros because that's how they do it. And it's like, okay, Christian Javier is a three, and then the rest of the rotation kind of makes sense. But so far, they haven't done that. And it seems like the only way they will do that is to trade Jake Meyers to do that, which, again, I'm not, you know, hugely against. It is just then, all right, now center field, what are we doing here? So there's a little bit of they're just filling holes while creating new ones, like you said in your beautiful analogy.
Oh,
that led
the best analogy. I have the best analogy.
Cam to say a hole is a hole on air.
I mean,
it's a beautiful moment here on ESPN Radio.
But yeah, I mean, there.
Sam, please post that whole conversation on social.
Please don't.
do it.
Post the 6-7 one better. That was better. Gross. But I really wish the MLB offseason was like every other offseason.
I do too. I don't know how you fix it.
Or just somewhere in the middle. Somewhere in the middle would be fine. It's just
NFL offseason, like all the important signings are done in 3 days. NBA pretty much, maybe NBA stretches to a week, but like baseball offseason started a month ago. And we barely had anything done. Like Pete Alonso signed and Dylan Cease signed. But Bregman's still out there, Tucker's still out there, Frober's still out there. They won't do that. That'll never happen in a million years. But, yeah, I hate how much it drags out. It's insane.
I would just like somewhere in the middle. I would like for
– can we wrap it up by Christmas?
Doesn't seem like it's too much. I was going to say, like, get a lot of work done during the winter meetings and then, you know, some cleanup afterwards for the next week or two afterwards. And, yeah, be done by Christmas. This whole, like, you know – MLB free agency doesn't really start until New Year's. It's like, oh my God.
It doesn't really start sometimes until February. I mean,
especially
if you're a Boris guy. Remember that offseason a few years ago where Jordan Montgomery and Blake Snell and Matt Chapman, they all didn't sign until like after spring training had already started. Yeah. Like, it just think about that from like an NFL NBA lens. Like that, it's insane.
Just like,
that, like they're halfway through, you know, preseason games in the NFL, and you're just signing a guy. It's insane.
It's so ridiculous. I mean, it would be like bringing in a quarterback, like, you know, with four games left in the season.
Like Phillip Rivers.
And he hasn't played in 5 years. It'd be doing something absurd like that.
Can Phillip Rivers be the number two pitcher for the Houston Astros? 713-70-3776.
He had to have played baseball growing up.
Yeah, I mean, that release, I mean, he's got to throw gas. I feel
now, that was 30 years ago that he was in high school, but I'm sure he played high school baseball.
He is, again, it bears repeating, he is literally a grandpa who's about to start an NFL game.
Love it.
That's what we're about to see tomorrow.
He has to be the last... Was Brett Favre a grandfather?
What, at the end? I don't know. I'd have to look that up. I don't know how to do that research, honestly.
I mean, yeah.
I guess I could just Google.
Look up his children.
It feels a little dirty. Like looking up birth dates of his grandchildren.
I'm sure it was in the newspaper.
Somewhere. Yeah, maybe so. You think they put an announcement out there or something?
In Green Bay, Wisconsin?
Yeah, yeah, they probably did. They probably led the 5 o'clock news with it, too. That's for sure. All right, we got to get out because we got to make room for Brad Gilmore. One half of the Hall of Fame heard Tuesdays and Wednesday nights here. Well, alongside Booker T, the WWE Hall of Famer, multiple time WWE Hall of Famer, the 6-time world champion.
Six time.
Brad Gilmore joins us next. Going to talk about John Cena's final match tonight on Saturday night's main event and a whole lot more going on with the WWE and a big card coming up for them here a week from today, Sub-Zero, their 20th anniversary show. We'll talk about all that and more when Brad Gilmore, when ESPN Radio returns. Bullpen, don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.